Talk Radio 790, KABC News, live and local at 202. I'm Steve Cumming. The Coast Guard is investigating reports of a possible downed aircraft approximately 2 miles north of the Redondo Beach Harbor. Just before noon, Coast Guard personnel received an emergency notification for assistance coming from an aircraft's emergency beacon. Shortly after that, several witnesses reported seeing an oil sheen on the surface of the water. A Coast Guard helicopter crew and a response boat crew were dispatched to the scene. A massive move of airlines is underway at LAX. KABC's Jim Roop says the terminal shift is the largest ever at a U.S. airport.
It's been in the planning stages for over a year, and now, says Mayor Eric Garcetti, time to move.
Counters, lounges, gates, everything.
Including, not to mention, all those airplanes. 21 airlines are moving around. Why, you ask? Because Delta wanted to. They wanted to move from Terminals 5 and 6 to Terminals 2 and 3 and connect to the International Terminal. But it's all part of the master plan to streamline and modernize. There are plenty of signs, arrows, lights, and people to help confused travelers.
We have no idea where to find the gate.
There is expected to be an adjustment period. Jim Roop, Los Angeles.
Shuttle buses wrapped in green and volunteers in green vests are on hand to assist any travelers who go to the wrong terminal by mistake. Airport officials still urge passengers to check their tickets carefully and to arrive early for their flights. Checking sports and baseball this evening, the Dodgers are in Denver visiting the Rockies and the Angels are at home against the Tigers. Looking at KABC traffic and Pico Rivera on the 605 southbound at Whittier Boulevard, a car is slammed into the center divider, creating stop-and-go traffic back to Rose Hill Road. And on the 5 southbound at Lakewood Boulevard, an accident in lanes has pushed stop-and-go traffic back to Ditman Avenue. KABC SoCal Weather Watch, sunny this afternoon with highs from the upper 60s at the beaches to the upper 70s inland. Presently, Santa Monica has 64 degrees, Santa Ana has 73, downtown has 71. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean, without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack, when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? And because Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they'll send you their most popular set, complete with a razor, one of their world-famous blades, shaving cream, and post-shave balm for free if you cover shipping. A total value of $20 at no cost to you with code 1126 at checkout. Their way of saying thank you for trying them. How is Harry's able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures the blades. That's how. Go to Harry's.com now and enter code 1126 at checkout to claim your free trial set and post-shave balm. That's Harry's.com. Code 1126.
Choosy moms choose Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervey's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervey. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world, all over the United States, and everywhere else in the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervey. I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn. And today, on this fine Saturday, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And here with me to manage my life, because I can't just manage your life without having someone manage my life, I'm here with the wonderful, the attractive, the talented, the smart, Carrie Kasem.
Thank you so much, Alan. Appreciate it. I'm
How
excited.
Was that for an intro?
It was awesome. I'm excited about the show today, I have to say.
Yeah, we're going to have a great show today because I really love having in our midst television stars.
Yes.
And it's so cool to have one of our own, and when I say one of our own, an attorney in the state of California who is now a TV star in a very important television program, which I'm sure a lot of you have seen, and if you haven't, You have to watch it. It's called Reasonable Doubt. It's on Investigation Discovery Channel, and it is an intriguing, really exciting show. And Melissa Lefkowitz is here with us, and she is a criminal defense attorney. She is an amazing attorney. I know we've had her on the show before. She has an opinion on everything, but she's really good at cracking cases and getting to the bottom of things. And she has teamed up with Chris Anderson, who, of course, is a former private detective, and they do this show where they go and they uncover these cases that people have been convicted, and they find out for the family and others whether in fact the conviction should stand. And it's so intriguing to watch the emotions through the show. We're going to talk to Melissa in 30 seconds, but before we do want to tease the rest of our show, because the second half of our show, we're going to revisit a topic that everyone seems to be talking about. It just doesn't go away. How airlines treat passengers. And we have two experts on our show later on to talk about the Dr. Dow, of course, the settlement and everything that took place with United Airlines. Or was it American Airlines?
No, it's United. Come on now. And you know that I fly. There's 4 or 5 months out of the year. I'm gone. I'm on like two to four flights a week. Yeah. So this is something that I've seen and I've watched because I fly every single airline.
All right. So we're going to talk about it. Save all your questions. We are going to talk about that in the second half. But right now, without further ado, we have a television star in our midst, Melissa Lefkowitz, criminal defense attorney. Welcome back to Gurfey's Law.
Thank you so much for having me here again. It's really a great pleasure. And that introduction has me smiling from ear to ear.
It's great. You know, we knew you before you actually got this gig, and it's an important gig. And you've teamed up with Chris Anderson. You were nice enough to get Chris on the phone. Chris, welcome to Gurfey's Law.
Thank you, Gurfey. I appreciate it. I appreciate the invite.
It is great to have you. Where are you located? Are you trying to solve a case right now?
No, actually, I'm a retired homicide investigator. I'm a retired police officer. I'm enjoying my retirement right now.
Okay. Well, I know you're enjoying it with the television show Reasonable Doubt on Investigation Discovery. Melissa, tell us the genesis of this TV show, how you got involved, how you hooked up with Chris, and how it's really been as you've proceeded making these great shows.
Well, this has been a wonderful, long process, actually. I was approached to do this project by producer and creator Rob Rosen, who came to my office one day with camera and said, I'd like to talk to you for this show.
Wait a second. He comes with camera.
Yes, he did.
For those of you who can't see through the radio, Melissa is a very, very attractive attorney. I like to say she's very intelligent, of course, but she's not hard on the eyes for...
No, you would never... I'm sorry, but you'd never look at her and go, first thing, criminal defense attorney.
No,
you know,
no.
I mean, you look like a model. You're very beautiful. So it's always nice when you have that kind of dichotomy, you know?
Says the model sitting next to me.
And so he shows up at your office.
So he shows up at my office.
He just said, I just want to meet Melissa.
You know, he actually spoke to an agent. The agent called me, said, hey, do you want to take a meeting with this guy? He comes to a meeting with this guy. Okay. He comes to my office with a camera in tow and his top cameraman, Rob Toth. And they both come into the office. They're like, we'd like to just talk to you. Camera's rolling. And then within moments, I think they knew within moments. And I think we all knew within moments. It felt like family right away.
Right.
And then Chris, I'd love for him to tell his story because it is so phenomenal as well.
So, go ahead, Chris.
About a week after I had just turned in my paperwork to retire from police work, about a week prior to even being contacted by the show, and you know, they called me. I don't know if you know this or not, but I was one of the investigators that was featured on the show First 48.
Right.
One of my most favorite shows ever.
They called me and said that, hey, we've been trying to contact you. We saw some of your episodes, and we'd like to do a Skype interview to see if you'd be interested in this show. The premise, but they couldn't explain to me what the show was about. So I said, okay, you know, I've never been one to walk away from an opportunity. So thank God. So we do the Skype interview, and that's when they, you know, they interviewed me, and I just talked to them like I normally would. And then Rob explained to me what the show was about, and he explained to me in some detail about what it was about. And I was immediately blown away because, number one, reopening homicide cases and investigating cold or cold cases is hard enough. But when you go back and start talking about trying to free wrongfully convicted people, it is an amazing, amazing and very daunting task.
Yeah.
So I was blown away from it, just listening to it over the phone. So I told Rob right then and there, hey, man, even if I'm not selected for this show, I'll be a fan. I'll be your number one fan. I just want to sit back and run your Twitter pages and stuff like that. That's how much of a fan I would have been.
So now you're the star.
So, exactly. So, you know, I didn't expect to hear anything about it. They told me who Melissa was, but I didn't know she was as attractive and as beautiful as she is.
And she's a great defense attorney. We've had her on the show before commenting on issues, legal issues, and she's on top of everything. Melissa,
exactly.
Tell us a little bit about how the show started. When you looked at the ideas, is it scripted, or how do you go about finding these cases, which Chris aptly says are very important to try and help people?
They are so important. We have at the production company at Painless Productions, they have a staff of, I'm sure Chris can tell us the exact number, but we're talking about dozens and dozens of people who are doing incredible work here, incredible field work. And they are so organized and they are so committed to this cause, so passionate. It's unbelievable. So by the time Chris and I land in whatever state we're in,
right,
we get a packet that's so thick and so well researched and so tremendous that it gets the ball rolling for us to do our own investigation much more quickly.
Now, do you look for maybe cases that you know that, hey, they could not, this, there's no way this could have happened the way it said it is, and we're going to exonerate you, and we're going to, or is it, hey, we're going to give you a case and you guys are going to guess, is this person, you know, really guilty or not? Or do they try, is it kind of like an innocence kind of program?
I would like to think it's more akin to an innocence program, but I think that what this show does differently than any other show, and I think it's Rob Rosen, the creator, that brings this,
right,
is that we don't stay neutral in the face of injustice. We're not interested in neutrality. We are interested in exposing cases that should have been exposed long ago.
Wait a second, Melissa. You can say that as a defense, a criminal defense attorney, but Chris, with all your experience in police work, you had to maintain some neutrality or you may have been in trouble. So how do you adjust your thinking?
Well, I feel that any police officer, as an investigator, you are there to search for the truth. You know, anyone that believes in that oath that you took to become a police officer, you should be there to be neutral and be able to decipher what's right and what's wrong. So it wasn't that much of an adjustment for me. I mean, because that's how I've always worked my cases. I haven't just worked it one sided just to prove someone guilty. Sometimes you conduct an investigation to prove someone innocent. You know, so it was not that hard or not that big of an adjustment for me, because I've always tried to look for what's right versus just charging someone for a crime.
Have you ever charged somebody for a crime and you really had this feeling that they did it and then switch maybe a month later, 2 months, or maybe going through the trial, you went, oh, wow, we have the wrong guy. And this is not for the show. This is in
No.
Okay. So everybody you put away, you believe
Wait
were completely.
Wait a second, Carrie. He doesn't put people away.
Well, he was a police officer.
How long have you been doing this law show?
And I know you pass it on to the DA and you pass it on to that. But
Melissa,
I want to know if somebody was like
sitting beside you. She protects people who are wrongly accused.
I just want to know if there was somebody you go, whoa, maybe this guy didn't do it, and you have a feeling.
All right, let's talk about that, Chris and Melissa, and we're going to talk a little bit more after the break. But real quickly, let's just tease before we go to break. The story of Eric Westerfeldt. This was one of the episodes that was on recently. And what did you think? Did you think he was guilty, Chris?
Wait, we should leave that as a hanger.
Well, you don't have to say what happened. Just say, what did you think when you were going through the process?
And at the initial stages of the investigation, when I learned about the murder weapon, and when I learned about his relationship, I forgot to say that I thought he was innocent.
Okay. Well, that's good. And now I'm going to find out from the criminal defense attorney after the break, Melissa Lefkowitz, when we talk about Eric Westerfeld. The show is called Investigation, is called Beyond a Reasonable Doubt in Britain. And in the United States, it's called Reasonable Doubt. Why they have different names? We speak differently. I guess we have different names. Reasonable Doubt on Investigation Discovery. We'll be right back.
Someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Talk Radio 790
AABC. Hey, Leanne Tweeden here. The days are getting longer, warmer, and summer's pretty much here. It's that time when everyone and everything goes crazy. And that's what happened to my sewer line. 3 hours before a dinner party, it clogged and water backed up into the sinks. Fortunately, I knew who to call. SoCal Plumbers 911, the referral service for the very best plumbers. And here's how to get in touch. Go to SoCalPlumbers911.com or call 877-PLUMBER. They're offering $50 off your entire bill just to try them out. For any plumbing problem, remember SoCalPlumbers911.com or 877-PLUMBER.
Norm's has two ways to make your mouth water.
Enjoy your SoCal Day Sunny Side Up with Norm's Sirloin Steak and Eggs. Two eggs, two hotcakes, hash browns, and steaks. Sunny, sunny, sunny. Starting at $8.99. Served all day.
Or stack up your rack with Norm's Baby Back Ribs. Three-course rib dinners with golden fried shrimp, crispy chicken tenders, or juicy sirloin steak.
Oh, baby.
Starting at $11.99. Soup and salad included. Served all day.
Norm's is SoCal.
Norm's Restaurants, where life happens 24/7.
NormsRestaurants.com.
L.A. departure frequency 123.9er.
Roger. Coming up on The Next Drive Home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, we'll find out just exactly how big of a mess LAX was during the transition.
Oh, I'm going to bet pretty damn messy, and we'll see how Amy Schumer fared at the box office and if Trump tweeted this weekend or maybe he took the weekend off.
Alive and local right after Dr. Drew and Mike Hathaway right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome back to Gervey's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, we are back, and we are turning Murphy's Law upside down. Everything that can go wrong can also go right, and that's what our guests, Melissa Lefkowitz and Chris Anderson, are trying to do to see if someone who had been convicted of a crime is actually innocent. The show is called Reasonable Doubt. It is on Investigation Discovery Channel, and it is Wednesday nights
at Melissa? 10 p.m.
Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. You don't want to miss it. Before the break, we were talking about the process. For those of you who didn't hear, Melissa and Chris investigate crimes, or at least convictions, to see whether maybe it was a wrongful conviction. Melissa, when you're going through the process, and how many of these have you done now?
10.
You've done 10.
10
so you're
different
getting
states.
Pretty good
wow.
at this.
10 different
10
states.
10 different states.
10 different cases.
10 different cases. How is your mind working as you go through the process of these investigations and, of course, talking to family members and friends who have something probably emotional to say about the conviction?
Yes, this is absolutely one of the most emotional experiences. I think I speak for both Chris and I when I say that this has been one of the most emotional experiences of our entire lives. We are not meeting just with the convicts. We are also meeting with the family members. So we are feeling their pain. We are feeling their stress and anxiety that they've come to their very last hope. So, they've exhausted appeals. They've done everything they can. They've hired lawyers. They've had public defenders. They've done everything they can, and they're exhausted financially, mentally, emotionally.
And then you and Chris show up in the Eric Westerfeld
with
situation.
With a glimmer of hope.
With a glimmer of hope. It was, 10, 12 years that he's been imprisoned.
Yes.
Tell us how you felt about that case.
Well, I have to tell you, that case was an emotional roller coaster. First, the confession in that case was something that I was sticking on. There was a confession made by Eric. He was a college student studying to be a police officer. He was held by the officers for 8-hour period at a time. You know, for 2-day period, he did go home in between, but it felt very long. It felt right. very arduous. And there were questions about whether or not it was coerced. So that was something that I was sticking on as the lawyer on the show.
Now, I saw that part, and it looked like something, the making of a murderer, where they kept that boy in there, just kept harping. And it sounded kind of like, I don't want to say abuse. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But when somebody keeps telling you this is how it is, this is how, you just agree.
Well, I don't know about that. But first of all, he's not a boy.
He was a college kid.
Melissa, why wasn't there an attorney with Eric during that, what Carrie described as this, I don't know, it was, what do you call it?
Interrogation.
Yeah. Full-on interrogation.
Full-on.
Brilliant question, Alan. And in fact, that was something that came up later to try to suppress the confession. Why wasn't he given an attorney? Why did this confession, why was he held for so long? Why did it take them so long? And mysteriously, why was the portion right before his confession missing?
What does
in the
that
videotape?
Mean?
So there's video footage
right.
of the entire time, but the portion just before the confession was missing, mysteriously. So when Eric comes out saying, my confession was coerced, I didn't have counsel, these are real questions.
Right.
And Chris, I know that you said something to him where it was like, well, you know too much about where the body was, where it was too detailed about where you found the body wedged in between the bench and the wall. How did he know that? And he said, well, they told me. And
well,
is that,
you know,
missing part of the tape?
That's where I started to figure out that maybe Eric was guilty of this crime. you know, coerced confessions, you know, they are true. I mean, sometimes detectives can give you details about a case, and sometimes you'll agree to it. But during this interview, he just knew too much. That there's no way that he should have known as much as he knew about the crime scene during our interview that he did, that I heard during his confession or
right.
his interview with the police. You know, there's no way he should have known unless he was there.
How did it feel for both of you when Melissa read the letter to his mother and brother that basically said how much he loved his ex-girlfriend and how much he wanted to get back together and he would do anything, may I suggest, to be together with her? Go ahead, Melissa.
Great. So I have to say that this was one of those cases that I walked out and just burst into tears. This family, this mother, this brother, the way they reacted to this reading, the truth coming out in this manner. Now, I have to say this as a lawyer. I have to say this. That kid during that confession was confessing to an assault. He did not know Timothy Gray was dead at that time. Timothy Gray took 5 days to pass on, you know, very
right.
sad, horrifying tragedy.
Yeah.
But for 5 days, he was being treated. Now, when he gave that confession, he was confessing to an assault. He was confessing to having done that.
Yeah.
So as lawyers, we all know that, you know, that does not make a good confession
right.
when you're being held for 2 days and all of this stuff. So that kind of distracted us. And then when the letter came out,
us
as investigators, us, I'm sure, as viewers, us as anybody
right.
watching this show.
Then the letter comes out.
Then the letter comes out. And you stop focusing on the fact. I mean, you do. You have to. You have to, as an investigator, as a lawyer, you focus on the legal issues that came out, the fact that he wasn't treated maybe the right way, or the fact that certain things came out that they shouldn't, you know, or the fact that the confession was for an assault, not a homicide.
Do you think that he could have been acquitted for legal reasons, for process reasons, even if he did it, if he had a really good attorney, some of the attorneys that have appeared on our show, some of the criminal defense attorneys like yourself?
I don't think that, you know, I don't think it should have gone as far as it did. I really don't. I think that this kid was guilty of manslaughter at worst. This kid did not know. In my opinion, after having gone through all of the evidence, I don't know that this kid was walking in there with the intent to murder Timothy Gray. I still do not see that.
Do you have a conflict with that, Chris?
Well, yeah, you know, and that was, you know, that was Melissa and I's problem the night that we have, the, during our own investigations. You know, I have a belief that when you make the decision to assault or rob or do anything that's a violation of the law, you accept responsibility for everything that comes along with it directly thereafter. That's, you know, so it, even if it were his intent to just assault Timothy Gray,
right,
you still have to accept responsibility for everything that happens during and after that assault, which Timothy Gray lost his life.
But and wouldn't that be pre?
It was at his hands.
But isn't that a difference between like premeditated to manslaughter to does he deserve this much time? If he wasn't, I mean, he was in college. He's planning to be a police officer. He has his whole life ahead of him. He's not thinking, I got to kill this guy and get away with it. He's like, look, I'm going to teach this guy a lesson. And a lot of people do that and don't end up killing someone. And I'm not saying that's right. And I don't condone that behavior.
I still don't think it's right. I mean, you know, that's just my personal feeling.
But just the time spent in jail, not necessarily like whether it's right or wrong. Did he get too much time?
No, because he denied the Timothy Gray's family the right to be with his family. You know, he did that. Right. That was all his doing. So,
Chris, this is why this show is so interesting and really compelling, because you and Melissa really come from different backgrounds, mm-hmm. probably both personally and professionally, and mm-hmm. you see things from different perspectives.
Right.
And it's so interesting to see how you're viewing it versus Melissa.
Right. And that's the thing that works so well for us. See, we're not – if you can prove that point, I'm not the type of person that once I think that this person is guilty of this crime, that's it. You can't change my mind. No, if you can bring me some evidence that we have here in this – this massive paperwork and emails that we have to look over and throughout this investigation, if you can come to me and tell me something where that can change my mind or have me think on a different level, then, you know, I'm good with that. I'll go along with it. But that's what I think happened with this case.
Yeah.
Melissa and I honestly, we were not in agreement at first until we had to have a sit down, and it took us, oh my God, Melissa, how long did we stay up that night?
Oh, we stayed up pretty late.
I don't think
we slept that night.
I bet Melissa looked great the next day.
Oh, thank you.
I drug in and I had to have eye drops for my red eyes and everything, and she woke up and got up and it was all together.
But we take this very seriously. This is something we take very seriously. These are real cases,
right.
Real
and
people,
when you
real
see
lives.
The people's tears coming down their faces. Obviously, you have to take it seriously.
Very.
This is emotional. We only have a couple minutes. I just want to hear from both of you. What has been the most interesting or poignant thing that you've learned from doing the Reasonable Doubt television show, Chris?
I don't think. Being a police officer for 21 years, I know we don't get it right all the time. We don't.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's the most poignant thing I've learned.
And I think it's important to watch the show so that you can see all of the different features and aspects of why police don't always get it right. And it's not always their fault. Sometimes it is,
right.
Melissa.
Exactly. And that's one thing that we don't try to do. We don't try to poke holes in the prosecution's case. That's not what we're here for. I mean, what we're here and we are looking for those people that are truly, truly innocent,
right,
of the crime that they were charged and have been convicted of.
Melissa, last word.
Last word. Even if we can reach one home, even if we can reach one family with these messages, there are messages within these stories. We will learn from these stories. We will expose the truth, however ugly it is,
right,
and we will then expose justice. That is our goal.
And this show has terrific ratings, by the way, and I'm one of them. I love all those 48, first 48, all this stuff. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Wednesday nights on Investigation Discovery, it's Reasonable Doubt with defense attorney Melissa Lefkowitz and retired police officer Chris Anderson. Melissa and Chris, thanks so much for being on Gervie's Law. We'd love to have you back to talk about more cases. It's fascinating.
We love it, and we love you guys.
We love you, too.
Thanks. On all that love, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the issues of airlines and passengers after this.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? And because Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they'll send you their most popular set, complete with a razor, one of their world-famous blades, shaving cream, and post-shave balm for free if you cover shipping. A total value of $20 at no cost to you with code 1126 at checkout. Their way of saying thank you for trying them. How is Harry's able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures the blades. That's how. Go to harrys.com now and enter code 1126 at checkout to claim your free trial set and post-shave balm. That's harrys.com, code 1126.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KABC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
And we are back. I am Alan Gervie. You listen to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Kerry Kasem is with me and Melissa Lefkowitz. She is great.
She's awesome.
I'll tell you, you have to watch that show, Reasonable Doubt.
Yes.
It keeps you on the edge of your seat trying to figure out, did he or she do it?
I love how they do that, how they go back and forth, and you're always wondering if they did it and if they didn't. And at the end, they just like, bam, it's like, you know for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching in the episode we were talking about, the mother's face, her reaction when they said, we're sorry, your son killed that man.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We need to change gears. Fortunately, some weeks ago, we talked about, I said fortunately because I know Dr. Dow, who was pulled off the United Airlines flight, wasn't killed, thankfully.
Thankfully.
He was battered. He was bruised. But apparently he was able to settle his dispute with United Airlines. And we are going to revisit the topic now to talk about passenger rights and what the airlines are doing to try to fix the PR, which has become awful. Even, you know, I recently saw where they talked about cutting legroom, American Airlines cutting legroom, you know, the overbooked flights. All of these things that are going on are really disturbing in the public's mind. And we need to talk to the experts to find out what's going on with the airlines and what is our future for those of us. And Kerry Kasem, I know you're flying all the time.
Non-stop.
For those of us who are flying, what is our future dealing with the airlines? Because I'll tell you, I still sit down on my flights and I'm waiting for that silver microwaved dinner to come to me, and it never comes.
No, that's first class.
Oh, forget I didn't mean that. I'm not first class, that's for sure. I'm with the dreck at the back of the bus. So I want to introduce to you, we have on the line Charlie Leoka, who's the chairman and founder of Travelers United. He's the author of Travel Rights and a series of guidebooks covering the USA and Europe. He is an advocate, and he knows this business. He's been doing this for a long time. Charlie, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hey, glad to be here.
We're glad to have you. And in fact, we have an expert attorney, Kenneth Quinn, who's with the Pillsbury Law Firm. And he has been called a true expert in this field. He knows all the key players across the agencies. He commands respect and has the gravitas based on his experience and knowledge, a true strategist. Wow. Ken Quinn, pleasure to have you on Gervie's Law.
Hey, my mom would be very proud of that intro. Thank you very much.
I'm sure
she's glad to have you on, too.
I'm sure she is very proud of you. So first, let's talk to Charlie. What is going on out there? Tell us how your organization has been involved, especially since the Dr. Dow incident, which has caused a stir throughout the country.
Well, I think the most important thing that our audience, or our organization worked on was before Dr. Dow, which was to change the rules and regulations for denied boarding. And this happens when there's an overbooking situation. And we were involved with the Department of Transportation way back in 2012, and we got them to increase the amounts of money that the airlines would have to give people who were denied booking. And we also got the Department of Transportation, we worked together with them,
right,
to get a priority list put into the system so that when there was someone being denied boarding involuntarily, there was a system of how they were going to be chosen. And in this case, it looks like the airline, United Airlines, did not necessarily explain to everybody exactly what kind of compensation they were going to get. They're supposed to do that. And they did not go by their own priority list, according to the reports that we first got. And now they seem to be backtracking and saying that they did do that and that it was not a random choice. So since then, we've been working with senators and congressmen trying to unravel and explain the ins and outs of the law so that they can decide whether or not they need to pass a new law.
Before we get to the new law, Ken, tell us what those ins and outs are. As an expert in the legal arena, can these airlines get away with this stuff?
Well, today the Department of Transportation does accord significant flexibility to the airlines to deal with overbooking situations. They do indicate you've got to compensate and offer to passengers a compensation scheme. They don't specify the amount. They do specify a minimum, no maximum. They're hoping that this will all be resolved as it is with 3 million flights a day pretty amicably, and would buy particularly a lot of leisure travelers who are willing to adjust their schedule and welcome the extra money.
And
so
I know in the past both Charles and you have commented that there's a reason for the overbooking, and it probably benefits all passengers because they can keep the fares lower. But recently, Oscar Munoz, the CEO of United Airlines, sent a letter out to passengers saying that we will, and I'm quoting, increase incentives for voluntary rebooking up to $10,000 and will be eliminating the red tape on permanently lost bags with a new no questions asked $1,500 reimbursement policy. Come on, isn't that just a PR move? That's a little ridiculous, isn't it, Ken?
Well, I think obviously Oscar and United Airlines and indeed the entire airline industry has learned a very painful and expensive lesson from the Dr. Dow incident. And it's about labor management relations. It's about customer first, customer right. It's about making sure we don't have people on board who have actually boarded and tried to remove. And it's about flexibility and increasing the amount of incentives. So I actually, you know, they've taken it on the chin here. They know it. Oscar knows it. He settled the case, I'm sure, for a very generous amount, probably more than any
right.
any passenger's experience in history.
Exactly.
And I'm sure the lawyer was taken care of as well. But, you know, this is something where I think the airlines of the world are all saying, hey, this is a teaching moment. It's a painful teaching moment. We've got to figure out what our lessons learned. And it's probably too early to say that Congress ought to be intervening in that and trying to do a, you know, a one-size-fits-all answer to where you have bad facts. Often it creates bad law.
Well, Ken and Charles, this is Carrie Kasem here, and I fly all the time. I'm constantly on an airplane. You know, I do my radio shows on the weekend, and I'm a lobbyist during the weekday, and I'm lobbying in every single state in America to get a bill passed for elder abuse. So I'm on. I mean, I try and fly the, you know, I have my Delta card, so I try and fly that as much as possible. But I'm on every airline. I mean, even the smallest ones, Allegiant from here to Boise, you know. So I'm constantly taking airline rides. So I remember when this happened. And everybody, I was sitting next to a seatmate I had, and they said, why don't they just allocate four seats, five seats, however many seats, that would be at a lower rate, but you know you might get bumped. So the people who accept those seats know, hey, I might get bumped a flight or two. And now you have, now you don't have an issue because these people know that that is part of their cheap ticket. Why don't they do something as simple as that?
Well, there are a lot of airlines that have different approaches to the issue. I mean, and certainly in United's case, that's a very large airline. Overbooking is a key part of their economics, and passengers would be paying higher fares if they didn't overbook. But I was on a panel moderating folks just last week in Chicago with the General Counsel of International Air Transport Association and others, including JetBlue, and they don't overbook at all. So, you know, there's different sizes and different fits, and, you know, the, something like what you propose might not be a bad idea, but we're certainly a long way away from Pan Am white gloves and silver trays. Americans care about low fares and getting safely from point A to point B, but, you know, we're getting air rage here in part because we're all tired. We're all jammed into a very tight space. And frankly, customer service oftentimes is not at the standards that it should be. It should be more of a Ritz-Carlton, Four Seasons, you know, what can I do for you and my pleasure.
Right. Charles, what does the Travelers United think about that? Charles?
We would be pleased if we ended up with a the Four Seasons and Ritz-Carlton kind of service. But when we get to this whole question about the $10,000 being offered and so on to get people off of the plane. Basically, when we worked together with DOT years ago, if the airlines would just go ahead and follow the rules that were set up and follow the regulations as they were set up, and if the airlines gave the people at the front, at the gate, permission to say, okay, you get $1,000 in cash if you get off the plane now, there would probably be a stampede to the front of this plane. Because the law is already there. The rules are already there. The priority list is already, it's already required to be in everybody's contract of carriage. The problem is that we've got this giant contract of carriage, which consumers never read, passengers rarely read, but I don't even think the gate agents know what the contract of carriage says, nor do some of the airline executives. So if we just follow the rules, we wouldn't have had this problem. And if the airlines told the consumers what their rights were, that you get up to $1,350 cash if you're bumped off of a flight, they could have asked and said, hey, can I get that? And the gate agent probably would have been able to make one quick phone call and say yes, and the problem would have gone away.
That is some great advice. I'm just writing that down because I think we're all going to do that next time we want to get bumped. But I want to ask both of you, we have to take a quick break, so we're just going to ask you real quickly, with respect to the lawmakers, I read an article recently that said that the lawmakers are grilling the airline executives and warning them that if they don't treat customers better, they're going to force them to treat them better. And that gets to what you're saying, Charles, that a lot of them don't even know what they're doing. Do you believe, first I'll start with Ken, do you believe that the lawmakers can do something to really control the airlines and the airline executives in this way through legislation?
You really cannot mandate customer service, and the only people who are held in lower regard than the airlines are congressmen. yet they are the most well-traveled group and so vitally affected by these words, but they can mandate certain things like, you know, you should not employ local police or cause the removal of a passenger once boarded. You can do things that the airlines are already doing to make sure their own employees are checked in 60 minutes before a flight so you don't have a so-called deadheading airline passenger knocking out a paid passenger. There are some things Congress can do, but I think, again, we're seeing the airline industry respond from this painful lesson learned. We ought to give them a chance to do it right, because I think they, you know, they deserve some credit here. This happens actually quite rarely when 3 million people are passengers flying every day, and yet in this viral video environment 24/7, it's on the internet posted, and it forces them to respond. But you know, in a customer review TripAdvisor fashion, that's not such a bad thing. Publicity and the bright lights can heal a lot of bad conduct.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We'll get to Charles after the break. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Gervie's Law. We are talking to Ken Quinn, who is a top-ranked aviation, aerospace, and transportation attorney, as well as Charlie Leoka, who's the chairman and founder of Travelers United. We will be right back.
Your one stop for breaking news and adult fun. 790 KABC.
Running low on the stuff you need? Time for a Target run. This week, get Ziploc 38-count 1-gallon bags or 150-count sandwich bags, 2 for $8. Get everyday low prices on everyday essentials. Target run and done. Prices good through May 13th, 2017. Pricing and availability may vary. Running low on the stuff you need? Time for a Target run. Get Pepperidge Farm Cheddar Goldfish 6.6 ounces for $1.99. And this week, Archer Farms Nuts Trail Mix and Multipacks are buy one, get one half off. Get everyday low prices on everyday essentials. Target run and done. Prices good through May 13th, 2017. Pricing and availability may vary.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Wake up with Doug McIntyre in the morning.
Story that everybody is concerned about. This is one that's kept me up nights, many nights, and I'm sure it has you as well. Is Richard Simmons a lady? Well, let's get into this. Here is our very own Jim Roop. Good morning, Mr. Roop.
Good morning.
McIntyre in the morning. Now with Leanne tweeting news. 5 to 10 on KABC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. I'm Alan Gervie. I'm here with Carrie Kasem, who is bopping her head to the music as usual. You love it.
I do. There's so many different plane songs you can sing. Leaving on a jet plane. You know?
Hey, Franz, what were you thinking? What about leaving on? I love leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'm
going. Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Gonna be on the Wheel of Fortune game. I'm sorry.
You know, I don't think that Charlie Leoka and Ken Quinn are really laughing so much about this. They are actually talking to each other. They are old buddies, and we have them both on the line from different parts of the country. Charlie is the chairman and founder of Travelers United, and he's the author of Travel Rights, a series of guidebooks covering USA and Europe. He founded the Consumer Travel Alliance together with Christopher Elliott. And he knows just about everything you can know about travel and aviation in this country. But then again, we have Ken Quinn, who in his own, first of all, he should be a radio broadcaster or an announcer at a football game. Great voice. Yeah. I dream of.
I love that you go from radio broadcaster to announcer at a football game. Yeah. I got downgraded very fast.
Very fast. Well, listen, don't give so much credit for a radio announcer. It's not all it's cracked up to be. But, you know, I do my best. I'm an attorney, a criminal. I'm a trial attorney, and the voice works in court. If you have a voice like that, Ken, and I know you don't go to court because you're dealing mostly with the issues of the aviation, aerospace, and transportation industry, but both of them have been talking to us about all of the flap that recently has been in the news. I guess it was generated by the Dr. Dow incident. And and by the way, do either of you know how much money or what Dr. Dow would have received and why he settled so quickly? I know, Ken, in our earlier segment, you thought it was probably a handsome amount. But, Charles, do you know anything about this settlement and why it settled so fast?
I have no idea what the settlement was and no idea of why it settled so fast, except for the fact that I'm sure United Airlines did not want to drag this out any more than they had to. And so they were probably advised to handle this very, very quickly.
And that's why we continue to drag it out, because it's not in the news for the money for Dr. Dow, but we can still talk about passenger rights, which is really important. Carrie?
Yeah, well, I want to know what you think this settled for. Like, what would an airline pay to have?
They have
I
no
wanna
idea.
Know.
As an
is
attorney,
it $100 million?
They're not going to say.
$50
million?
Ugh. Okay. Does it take something like this, as horrible as this incident, to change the industry, to really make things, you know, to bring it out in the light so we go, okay, things have to change now?
No.
Yeah, well, I mean, in aviation, you have things that happen that are safety-related where that really result
right.
in fundamental change. And then you have consumer problems like this, and actually they've spurred more kind of shout-outs and confrontation and conflagration aboard aircraft. And we do have to be careful here, right? I mean, you don't want to be overreacting and creating situations where passengers are not taking instructions of flight crews. After all, these are aluminum tubes going 500 miles an hour at 37,000 feet. You know, you'd want people to be obeying the instructions of flight crews, nor do you want people acting out in hopes of getting a multi-million-dollar settlement from an airline after you've embarrassed them and caused them a market capitalization drop of $250 million. So,
sure.
You know,
right.
Everyone's got
right.
to kind of get calm here and realize that there is a lesson learned and move on. But there are broader issues, obviously, that Charlie and other good consumer advocates have raised here, including your show, about, you know, how airlines treat their passengers. We're just a very long way from getting the kinds of customer service standards that most of the traveling public have a right to enjoy.
And that's a very important distinction, Ken, and thank you for bringing that up, because as a lawyer, we look at things from the legal perspective, but then as a consumer advocate, there are other issues that may not be within the scope of the law, but very important, nevertheless, for businesses and public relations. You weigh that against profits, and that's something we're always talking about this on the show, about company profits. Charlie, how does your organization weigh the understanding that these businesses want to make money, but at the same time, they have to serve the public with some respect in order to get that business?
Well, first of all, my organization, Travelers United, we changed the name a couple of years ago, we've always worked very carefully and very closely together with airlines in many, many cases to try to get them to move in the direction that we need them to move in. Because sometimes having voluntary changes from the industry is more effective than having laws passed. So we have been able to, through the Department of Transportation in most cases, get changes made to rules and regulations. And we've been able to allow the consumers have a little bit more rights. But right now we're in a situation where dogs have more consumer rights than consumers and humans.
I say
they
that
they don't have a certain amount of space that they get whenever they're put into a plane.
True.
And a consumer doesn't. We're losing leg room. We're losing the width and seats. We're packing more and more people into planes. And this is why we also have an incredible problem of rising air rage at the time. Because there's more people packed into a smaller into the same space, and then they have to interact more. Flight attendants
and
have
yet,
to do more work.
But yet airfares have gone down and stabilized, and more consumers are flying today than ever before and enjoying those low fares and going to the places where they need to do business and see their family. So, I mean, it's affordability in airfare at a very good price and at a pretty good level of service that obviously needs to get much better. But, you know, when you impose rules, you impose laws, you often have a law of unintended consequences. So Congress,
yep.
administration need to be very careful that you don't make a law based on some celebrated, notorious incident, because then you likely create a problem in another area.
Do you know of anything, and if either one of you can answer this question, where we're going to start seeing more economical travel? Because right now the fuel and flying itself is very expensive.
Not what Ken just said.
I want to know if there's any planes coming out. Is there anything in the future that we're looking forward to that would not maybe take this kind of fuel that we use?
Yeah, first of all, you do have airfares have risen far less than in other service industries over the last 25 years. But you do have this problem of baggage fees and what they call ancillary fees that have been laid on, which can really penalize, I think, large leisure travelers' families and hit them in the pocketbook. You will see very soon some of the transatlantic travel that traditionally has been high coming down, because there is now the phenomenon that's happened in Europe where you have about a 66% penetration of low-cost carriers intra-Europe is now going to be introduced inter-U.S. to Europe. So this, what used to be extraordinarily lucrative traffic from Europe to the United States and back, you're seeing some low-cost carriers like Norwegian and WOW and Wizz and others who are now leveled from British Airways and International Airlines Group, I think are going to be really bringing greater affordability in international travel very soon.
Yeah, that makes sense, Ken. And I have to say, we only have a minute left, so I just want to close up. But I think that these are issues that are just going to be in the public for many months to come as travel becomes easier, maybe cheaper, and also, obviously, the volume increases. Before we let you go, both Charlie and Ken, have the last word. Tell us what your hope is for this industry as we move forward in a minute or less.
Okay. From my point of view, my hope is that we find some way to get more competition so that the airlines have to compete also on price and on customer service. And we need to have more clarity in terms of pricing and more clarity in terms of rules that the travelers have to follow and that the airlines have to follow.
And from my perspective, I think that we learn the painful lesson, we institute reforms, we don't overreact and inconvenience the traveling public to the degree what we saw in overreaction, for example, after 9/11, a far more serious, larger incident, creating an enormous federal bureaucracy that took a very long time just to have some kind of, a pre-check system,
right,
a trusted traveler system. So I'm actually confident and optimistic and time to move on.
We appreciate both of your perspectives. Optimism is always good. Charlie Leoka, thanks for being on Gurry's Law. Ken Quinn, thanks for being on Gurry's Law. Hopefully we'll have another discussion in the coming months.
My pleasure.
All right. And for all of you listening, thanks for listening to Gurry's Law. It was a great show, Carrie. We will see you next week.
Bye.